Well, it's good to be back in the pulpit after about a three-week hiatus, and so good to be back with you guys. And I've been back from Asia for about a week and a half now, and on the day that I returned from Asia, it was two Thursdays ago, and I received a phone call, an automated phone call, a recording from the Chinese consulate, or supposedly the Chinese consulate, speaking to me in Chinese. Anybody receive that phone call? Ever receive that automated phone call? Okay, yeah. And so some of us have. And so I punched the number, and it connected me to a live person. And the gentleman began to explain to me that there was a letter for me calling me to return to Beijing to undergo some kind of investigation, because apparently someone had opened up a debit card with the ICBC, Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, in Brooklyn, New York, and that this person had been apprehended entering China sometime in June, and I needed to go back to Beijing to undergo investigation. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I've given my personal information out to anybody, etc. And he said, oh, well, this is, I don't know what to, I need to let you talk to my supervisor. So then I talked to this female supervisor who basically gave me the same business, the same line. And she asked me all these questions. And then she said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to connect you to the Beijing Gonganju, which is the Public Security Bureau. And so a direct line onto Beijing Public Security Bureau. And I'm talking to this guy, and he's asking me all these questions. And then finally, I give out my passport number, so that I can continue to undergo investigation. And he's supposed to get back to me about how the investigation is going. And as I got off the phone, I told my wife all that was happening. And she looked at me and she said, honey, I always hang up on those guys. I think it's a scam, or something along those lines, you know, she said. And I said, and as I heard those words, my pride began to evaporate. And I said, honey, and this is hard for me to do, but I acknowledged, I said, honey, I think you're right. And I had given out my passport information. Have you ever been tricked, deceived? Have you ever interacted with someone who's out to harm you, to take advantage of you? We have been going through the book of Nehemiah, and we took a three-week break to focus on intergenerational issues. But as we were going through Nehemiah, we've been saying that our theme is to restore hope. Restore hope. And yet in the process of restoring hope, sometimes we will face people or situations or circumstances that will try to throw us off the trajectory of restoring hope. It might be opposition from the outside. It might be opposition from the inside. And today we are going to go back to looking at those oppositions from the outside that may try to throw us off from the path of bringing hope to communities or to our own lives. And specifically, we're going to look at those obstacles in the form of lies and deception. How do we continue to be agents of hope restoration when we face this kind of opposition? That's what we want to look at today. We're going to continue in our exegesis and application of Nehemiah. So turn with me today, Nehemiah chapter 6. Are you facing opposition? Are you facing deception? Are you facing obstruction? What should you do in that process? And that's what we're going to look at in Nehemiah chapter 6. Now, when we last left our hero in chapter 5, Nehemiah had just resolved issues of social injustice, social inequity. People were mortgaging their houses, their fields, even selling their children just to get money so they could survive and pay their taxes. Nehemiah had rectified the situation so that people were helping their fellow Israelites without charging them interest. But as we turn to chapter 6, verse 1, we get back to some old outside enemies. And chapter 6, verse 1 tells us that, "Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time had not set up the doors and the gates." So they're continuing to build the wall, and it's almost done, except for some of the doors on the gates had not yet been installed or built up. And then verse 2, "Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, 'Come, let us meet together in Hakeferim in the plain of Ono.'" Ono. "But they intended to do me harm." Now, we've seen this before, that the enemies of Israel were angry. We saw that in chapter 4. When they heard that the Israelites were rebuilding their wall, they had an emotional reaction. They became angry, incensed, and it tells us back in chapter 4 that they jeered and mocked the Israelites and trash-talked to them. Here, we don't have the emotions from the narrator. We just get straight to an action. Most probably, they were angry again. But we just get straight to the action, and what they want to do is they want to meet with Nehemiah, and they want to call him out to this place that's probably on the border of Judah and Samaria, but they're up to no good. And I like the place where they're going to meet. They're going to meet on the plain of Ono, you know, Ono. And they probably want to take him out because they've had enough of Nehemiah. He's doing too good of work, rebuilding the walls, and so they just want to kill him. That's what I think is going on. Or maybe a little less, they want to draw Nehemiah out from the city of Jerusalem to leave the city a little more vulnerable, and then they'll go in and destroy the people. But Nehemiah, he sniffs it. He knows something is not right. And so he basically, he knows, the narrator tells us, right? The story, we have the all-knowing narrator. They intended to do me harm. And then in verse 3 and 4, we see what Nehemiah does. What does he do? Verse 3, "So I sent." That's an interesting verb. There's a lot of sending going on here. This verb is repeated several times. You know, so he sent messengers, okay? He's doing a lot of text messaging here. "I sent messengers to them saying, 'I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. I'm a busy man. Why should I stop the work, leave it, and come down to you?'" So basically Nehemiah just says, "No, I'm not going to come down. I'm not going to meet you." And this happens multiple times, this you know, instant messaging, you know, Sanballat and company, send the message. And then Nehemiah just replies and sends the message right back. Look at verse 4. "And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner." So, friends, What did Nehemiah do when he was trying to restore hope and yet people were trying to oppose him, deceive him, hurt him? The first thing we can learn is that he said, oh no. And we can do the same. We can say, oh no, don't go. Just say no. Okay? And that's what Nehemiah did. He said, I'm not going. No. And so in the same way, when you're involved in bringing hope to a school, to a company, to a neighborhood, if there's opposition, if there's people who are trying to hurt you, then you can just say no. So if the phone scammer calls, hang up. If someone is asking you to look at websites or chat rooms that you shouldn't be going to, then just don't go there. And so we can practice that right now. Just saying no. Just saying no. It becomes easier the more you do it. I had a friend who, Yates, he's now an elder at West Houston Chinese Church, and he was sharing with me that as he used to travel through Asia in the past, you know, that there were women who would stand outside of a hotel room, and they would basically try to elicit him to have relations of basically prostitution with them as he's traveling through China. And he said his simple response was just wabuyao. Okay? So that's very simple. In Chinese, that means I don't want it. I don't want it. Okay? So that can be your response towards people who are trying to meet with you, to hurt you, to bully you, have you engage in activities that will not help you. Just say no or wabuyao, okay? So we're going to practice that right now. So this side of the room going to speak English, and as you are proposition to do something, you just say no. In this side of the room, you just say wabuyao. Okay? So let's practice that, because sometimes we just have to draw those boundaries. So someone comes up to you and they say, hey, come on, come take a look at these pictures here on my cell phone, on the computer. There's some really groovy pictures, you know, of women or men that, you know, that you really, really should look at, and it's just really great. Okay, very, very good. Okay, hey, come on over today, and for 12 hours, we're just going to watch Houston Astros, Rockets, Texans, Netflix, YouTube, Korean soap opera. I mean, not just for 30 minutes, but for 12 hours. Computer games online, we're just going to play for 12 hours, not just for 30. There you go. Wabuya. Okay, you know, hey, we got a new SAT class where you can get 1600, and also you will play musical instruments like Mozart, and you will play athletic just like LeBron James. And this, you know, even though it's going to take your child away from spiritually enriching activities, you can start them at age 2 years old in this SAT class and play music like Mozart. And I guarantee you, you know, starting them at 2 years, athletic like LeBron James. Okay. Well, how about this? I want you to take a new job. And yeah, you're going to have to work, you know, upwards of 60 hours a week, but the compensation is great. And, you know, you're going to have less time with your family, but come on, let's take this new job. Very good Chinese. Okay, so friends, what can we do when we're in the process of restoring hope, but people try to oppose us or the purposes of God through us? Oh no, don't go, just say no. Well, this doesn't work for the enemies of Nehemiah, so we try a different tact. And in verse 5, we see what the new tact is. Verse 5, in the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent, there's that verb again, we're sending messages, his servant to me, but this time we're not just doing I am. This is group chat. This, we're going to go public, okay? We sent with an open letter in his hand. Used to be that there would be a seal on it so that to protect the privacy of the messaging. But we're not using the seal. We're going to send an open letter, and we're going to go public with this. We're going to post this on social media. And in it was written, we're going to start the rumor mill. Start the rumor mill. What are those rumors? Look at verse 6. It is reported, there's a rumor going around among the nations, and Gisham, by the way, also says it, that you and the Jews, and we're going to put a false motive on you, you intend to rebel. That, we know your motive, it's a false, they're assigning false motives. That is why you're building the wall, and according to these reports, you want to be the king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah, and now we're going to threaten. We're going to do a threat. And now the king will hear of these reports. Yeah, we might, you know, tell this to the king. Tell him that these are your true motives. So, let's drink some tea together. Let's take counsel together. Verse 8, what does Nehemiah do? Then I sent, there's that word again, I sent to him saying, no such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. You lie. You lie. Fake news. Tabloid news. You're inventing this in your own mind, Sanballat and company. And why? Verse 9. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. They still trying to manipulate through fright to get Nehemiah to meet with them. But even if Nehemiah won't meet with them, they're hoping that through the rumor mill that the Israelites will drop, it's this literal word, their hands will drop. They'll be demoralized, they'll be discouraged, and the work will discontinue. But Nehemiah calls them out. He just says it straight. He says, it's not true. You lie. You're just making it all up. And so, friends, as we face opposition, those who would try to deceive us, throw us off, let us just don't go there. Disengage. Don't meet with the person. But also, let us also confront the lie. Let us also confront the lie. And so, if the phone scammer calls you, not only hang up on them, but expose their lie to the FCC. If the person wants you to look at pornography on their cell phone, not only say no and wabuyao, but explain to them that true design by God is to fulfill our sexuality with our spouse and not with anyone else, and not to treat men or women as objects. And that is the lie. So this is what Nehemiah does. And so Sanballat and company's efforts fail once again. So they try another tact, and they're going to try to go inside, and picking it up in verse 10. Now, when I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, this is probably a priest, son of Mechetabel. Boy, this is a little work, you know, to pronounce these names. By the way, there's some good names here to name your children, okay? So get on some of these names here. But anyway, who was confined to his home? We don't exactly know why he was confined to his home. Perhaps he was trying to engage in deception to say, oh, I have to stay in my home to protect myself. So Nehemiah, you need to start protecting yourself too. But we'll read on. He said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. So he's trying to draw Nehemiah into the temple. He said, let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Okay, we're going to try to manipulate again through fear. They're trying to kill you. And not only that, they want to come kill you at night. Even more scary. Okay. Verse 11, how does Nehemiah respond? But I said, should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in. And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid, okay, manipulation through fear again, and act in this way and sin, and so that they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. So it doesn't work, so they try to get an inside job. They pay somebody off, probably a priest, to try to get Nehemiah to go into the temple. Now, this was very dangerous for Nehemiah because if you look back in the Old Testament, Numbers 18:7, for example, if a non-priest went into the inner parts of the sanctuary, that could incur the death penalty. So that was a possible trap for Nehemiah. Even if they didn't execute the death penalty, the very fact that he went in would destroy his credibility, his leadership for the Israelites, that he was scared, he was fearful, he was going into the temple for protection in a way that was not within the law, and it would undermine his leadership to the people. So this insider job fails again because Nehemiah confronts the lie. And he says, you're not being sent from God. Obviously, what you're advising me to do is against the law, so you can't be sent from God. And so he doesn't go. And so, friends, for ourselves, as we continue to try to fulfill God's purpose through our lives and we're faced with opposition, let us confront the lie. And sometimes that lie is even from our own inner circles or even within our own minds. And we need to confront and expose those lies that we're believing, we're thinking, that we've heard so much that we may start to believe those lies even for ourselves. Sometimes a major lie that we have is about who we are as people, and that who we are is based on our performance or what other people think about us. But the truth of the matter is that, just like the song said, a good, good father, it's who I am. It's who I am is not based on my performance in school or work or what other people think about me. It's who I am is who I am in Jesus, that God loves me, that I'm secure in Jesus. My security and my significance is not, as the Search for Significance book taught us so many years ago, it's not tied to our performance and others' opinions. But who we are, who I am, is based on what Jesus says I am, what God says I am, and just my simple faithfulness to what God has called me to do. And so what are some of the lies that you're believing? That, you know, people will try to manipulate you through fear to question your security and your significance. And what are some of the lies that you might be believing? What are some of the lies that I might be believing? I might be believing a lie that who I am is based on how successful the church is doing, or how good of a sermon I preached, you know, or if people are falling asleep while I'm preaching. I might believe that that's who I am, or I might believe that who I am is how other people think that I'm caring for my parents, and I might run myself crazy, not necessarily to please help my parents, but to please others who have an opinion about how I'm caring for my parents. And so, but the truth of the matter is that my identity is not tied to anything, my work, my ministry, what other people think, but it's only tied to who Jesus says I am and my faithfulness to what God has called me to do. And his opinion is what matters the most. Not mom's opinion, not family's opinion, not pastor's opinion. I mean, now pastors and mom and dad, those are pretty good opinions, okay? Spouse opinion. So most of the time, they're good advice. But really, who we are needs to be grounded in who we are in Jesus and what God thinks, and just simply being faithful. So it's not tied to if our children actually become like Mozart, okay? So just say no, confront the lie, and then look at the end of verse 14. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to, again, manipulate me through fear, make me afraid. So we can, don't just say no, confront the lie and cry out to God. Verse 14 says he's calling upon God to remember Tobiah and Sanballat. And sometimes as we face our opposition, Nehemiah prays for himself. He, at the end of chapter 5, he says, remember me, O God, through the circumstance. But sometimes we do pray for the circumstance, and we pray for God to change the others or to discipline the others. And he does this in chapter 4. He prays an imprecatory prayer, and he does that again here. He's basically asking, God, you judge the person who's trying to harm me, who's trying to deceive me. So we can do that too. We can call out, we can cry out to God to judge the person who is seeking to harm us. So let's do that right now. Is there someone or some thing in your life that is trying to deceive you, obstruct you, deter you from God's purpose in your life. And just like Nehemiah said, remember Sanballat and all these people who wanted to make me afraid. Lord, discipline them, judge them according to what they've done. We can do that now if there's people in your life who are trying to hurt you, abuse you, oppose God's purposes in your life through you. And you can ask God to bring discipline upon them. So let's all just stand up. Everybody, let's all stand up. And you can raise your hands up to God. Right now, you can cry out to Him. And you can just say, Lord, remember blank. Okay, and who is that person or that thing? Is there someone who's trying to oppose you, oppose your purposes in your life? And right now, you can just cry out to God, Lord, you discipline this person. Okay, go right ahead. Lord, remember. Lord, it's in your hands. Vengeance is yours. Okay, all right, very good. Okay, thank you. You can do that all throughout this next week if there's people who are trying. So confront the lie, cry out to God, and lastly, complete the mission. Complete the mission. Look at verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. They finished the wall in 52 days. They stayed on task, stayed on the mission. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us, it's interesting, they were trying to incite fear in Nehemiah. But what happened is that they were afraid. And they were trying to demoralize the Israelites. But they, in turn, became demoralized and fell greatly in their own esteem. It's the literal Hebrew words is that their eyes dropped. For they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. And actually, the original Hebrew, the words help are not there. It's just this had been accomplished by God. And in the background, of all this drama with Tobiah and Sanballat, Nehemiah stayed the course. He stuck to his mission. He completed the mission. We see a little bit of this background drama elaborated on verses 17 to 19. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to Tobiah because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son, Jehohanan, had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, as his wife. So both Tobiah and his son had married into Jewish families, and so there was a connection there. And as a result, some in the Israelite community were loyal to him, and they spoke of Tobiah's good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. So they spoke good things of Tobiah, and then they were like an informant to Tobiah about what Nehemiah was doing. And Tobiah sent, there we are again, letters, and here we are again, to make me afraid. So, friends, Nehemiah, in this backdrop of drama with Tobiah, he stayed the task. He completed the mission. And so, friends, when people try to throw you off, when they try to deceive you, when they try to harm you, stick to the task. I had a friend in Asia, and he would often get depressed. And I think a lot of times he would get depressed because he tied who he was to how well he could speak Chinese. And a lot of times he couldn't speak Chinese that well. And so he would feel bad about himself. But another experienced worker shared with him, you know, one of the best ways that I get out of my depressions is I just go out and I just start evangelizing and telling people about Jesus. And so in the same way, friends, if as we get distracted by others, as we start to place our identity in things outside of Jesus, let us acknowledge what's going on, cast it up to God, not ignore what's going on, but cast it up to God, give it to him, replace the lie with the truth, but then get back to preparing for the worship set. Get back to preparing for Sunday school. Get back to preparing for family devotionals. Get back to figuring out how you're going to reach out to those three people or disciple that one person. Get back to the mission and stay the task with the mission that God has called you to. So, friends, today we have looked at what do we do when we're engaged in restoring hope and we're faced with opposition, particularly in the form of lies. Oh no, don't go. Just say no. Confront the lie. Cry out to God and complete the mission. I just got back from Asia 2 weeks ago, and it was really great to go back and to see the land that we were in for 15 years of our lives. We had a goal to plant the church among Muslims in Asia. And we spent 15 years of our lives doing that. And as we went back, you know, it could be that I would be repeating a lie to myself that, you failed. You're a failure because we didn't really meet our goal. We didn't see the church established among the Muslims. And I can count on the number of two hands people who believed in Jesus during our 15 years there. And some people might say, what a waste. What a waste, Wei, that you took your family and spent 15 of the best years of your life investing into this. But you know, I'm not going to believe that lie. And when Daniel and I went back, we went back with joy. We went back with joy because we knew that what we were doing and who we were wasn't based on the results of those 15 years, but who we were was based in Jesus. And the question simply was, were we being faithful? And I think we were faithful. And so we can resonate on that truth. And my family and I, we can now focus on the mission that God has given us to be a faithful preacher of the gospel through Katy Christian Community Church. That's our mission. That's our task. That's all of our tasks. Oh no, don't go. Just say no. Confront the lie. Cry out to God and complete the mission. Lord, thank you for the story of Nehemiah and all that he has shared with us. And Lord, help us as we seek to be agents of hope restoration, that we will fill our hearts and minds with your truth and stay to the task for what you've called us to do. We pray in Jesus' name.